From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for no compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you no compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil or pen handy and listen for the contact information at the latter part of the second half of the show. And let's get started with our news for tonight. Rod Coronado, old-time, long-term animal rights and Earth First activist, has been silenced just days after the North American Earth Liberation Front press office was raided. And with the continuing repression to try and silence people like Connor Cash and Frank Ambrose, the American authorities have acted yet again to try and silence another vocal supporter of direct action. Former Animal Liberation Front prisoner Rod Coronado has had his parole conditions changed. It appears the authorities aren't too keen on some of the things that Rod has been writing for both No Compromise magazine and the Earth First Journal, and basically gave him an ultimatum: shut up or go back to prison. According to a No Compromise magazine article, at first Rod considered telling them to screw off and risk going back to jail. But after much research and consulting of lawyers, it turns out that he would go back and serve time and then have the same conditions imposed upon release anyway. Only he would have been even longer to endure these conditions, since he's already been on parole for a long time and has only 16 months left. According to No Compromise magazine, Rod Coronado's new conditions forbid him from writing articles or otherwise volunteering for activist publications. They also ban him from speaking out, publicizing, or supporting illegal actions. He is also not allowed to associate with ALF or ELF members, that's Animal Liberation Front or Earth Liberation Front members, now I don't know who that is, and this includes speaking to activists about illegal direct action. Because of these draconian restrictions, Rod for now is unable to participate in the No Compromise Steering Committee or the Earth First Journal, and he is unable to submit articles for these or other activist publications. So Rod Coronado, silenced by the parole board. And the Earth Liberation Front takes responsibility for an arson on Ross Island sand and gravel cement trucks. The following communique was sent anonymously to the North American Earth Liberation Front press office. Quote, the Earth Liberation Front claims responsibility for the fire that took place at Ross Island sand and gravel on Sunday, April 15th. For many years, Ross Island sand and gravel has been guilty of stealing soil from the earth, especially the lagoon on Ross Island. Further, the recent acknowledgement of the dredging of toxic disposal cells has drawn our attention to the exploitation that Ross Island sand and gravel commits against our earth. In their Easter basket, we decided to leave four containers with gasoline and a time-delayed fuse placed under two of their cement trucks. If Ross Island sand and gravel mines in the Columbia River Gorge, then Earth Liberation Front will take necessary action. Let this be a warning to all the greedy corporations who exploit our earth's natural resources, especially those who plan on doing it under the Free Trade Area of Americas and the title of Free Trade, signed the Elves and the Easter Bunny. The Earth Liberation Front has claimed responsibility for the arson of two cement trucks belonging to Ross Island Sand and Gravel in the Portland, Oregon area. In their communique, the ELF warns if Ross Island sand and gravel mines, well, we already read that. In recent years, Ross Island sand and gravel had made headlines in Oregon for their environmentally destructive practices, including the dredging of toxic disposal cells. Since 1997, the Earth Liberation Front has claimed responsibility for over 30 acts of illegal economic sabotage in North America, totaling nearly $40 million in damages against those who profit from the destruction of the natural environment. The ELF recognizes that those destroying the Earth are doing so in order to make money, so in attempts to protect our natural habitat and the elements of the natural environment that we all need to survive, the ELF takes direct action in the form of economic sabotage. If you want more information, contact the North American Earth Liberation Front Press Office at 503-478-0902. That's 503-478-0902. Or ELFpress at tao.ca. That's ELFpress at tao.ca. Or www.earthliberationfront.com. And donations are needed to help the North American Earth Liberation Front Press Office. Due to the April 5th, 2001 raid on the North American ELF Press Office by state and federal agents, we are in desperate need of the following items. If you or anyone you know can donate any of the following items, please contact us as soon as possible. We would really appreciate the help. The following items are needed immediately for the North American ELF Press Office. At least two computers, preferably PC format, with a decent amount of memory, one for design work and resistance journal, and the other for our online work. We lost everything this time, so we are in need of the whole package, keyboards, monitors, printers, CPUs with modems, etc. They need a fax machine or a decent fax modem program for PCs, a color flatbed scanner with installation software for PCs, exterior zip drives, unless the systems that we hopefully soon acquire come equipped with zips inside the computers. They need video cameras, preferably digital, but any are desperately needed, largely for security and legal reasons, and digital still cameras. And, of course, they'll take monetary donations. We lost hundreds and hundreds of pieces of property and files, which will take money to replace. Donations are also urgently needed to help with Rosebra's legal defense through our next grand jury situation coming up in Eugene, Oregon. Please make all checks or money orders out to Resistance. That's Resistance, and send them to P.O. Box 4783, that's 4783, Portland, Oregon, 97208. Once again, please make your checks or money orders out to Resistance and send to P.O. Box 4783, Portland, Oregon, 97208. Any help or support you can give is greatly appreciated. Long live the ELF. Moving to Northern California tree actions, the Matole Free State siege continues and four more have been arrested. As of Tuesday morning, April 17th, we saw our sixth siege in 2 weeks by the Humboldt County Sheriff's, Pacific Lumber Security, California Fish and Game, and officers from the Eureka Police Department. They encountered a fresh blockade resurrected over Easter weekend that had a junked car with two lockdowns and a suspended 30-foot-high bipod with support lines rigged to the car. Three were arrested that day as law enforcement spent the morning torturing lockdowners by repeatedly pouring cold water on them and blocking the morning sun from warming their bodies. Outside air temperatures were in the 40s, and the cops only put a blanket on one individual after he complained he was going hypothermic and his body temperature had dropped 10 degrees. They estimated they were doused 10 times in 4 hours, reminiscent of the infamous 1997 pepper spray torture of lockdown nonviolent Headwaters activists. Law enforcement eventually resorted to jackhammers and a backhoe to extract the lockdowners. A Scotia Fire Department truck had to be brought in to ease an extra long ladder to get the biped sitter out of his perch. The fourth forest defender was arrested at 4 a.m. Wednesday as he slept at a remote backwoods camp. But there are still no logging crews, and of course this update's about 9 days old now. A rally was held at California Department of Fish and Game Regional Headquarters on April 18th. 20 activists were present, including the man who was injured falling off a cliff as he was pursued by fish and game wardens on Tuesday, April the 8th. They demanded that the agency stop chasing nonviolent activists through the woods and focus on protecting wildlife and catching poachers. Fish and Game claim that they're protecting wildlife biologists who weren't in any danger, but wardens have been used almost exclusively to hunt down activists in the woods who are, guess what, protecting wildlife habitat. Please call Captain Steve Conger. His number is 707-445-6493. That's 707-445-6493. 6493 and ask that Fish and Game Wardens not be used to further Maxam's desecration of Matol Old Growth Douglas Fir Forest. Fish and Game and Matol activists need to be on the same side. If you want more information about Matol Free State, call Matol Defense at 707-825-6598. That's 707-825-6598. And they could use all kind of help up there, including people to go out in the woods and prevent logging. Moving to the Buffalo Field Campaign, here's the Buffalo Field Campaign update for this week. This past week has brought us wonderful warm sunshine and good news for the buffalo. On Tuesday, the department, that's the Montana Department of Livestock, began to take down and pack up the Horse Butte Capture Facility. By Wednesday afternoon, the facility was completely disassembled and no longer a threat to over 50 bison who have returned to Horse Butte after last week's hazing operations. On Thursday, the facility was removed from National Forest lands, leaving only the scarred ground as a remembrance. We rejoice at this turn of events and wonder at the waste of monies at having the facility up all winter with 24-hour security and only using it on one day in March. The answer is rooted in Montana Department of Livestock's public relations campaign. They are trying to clean up their image as bison killers and pad the budget for next year. Even though these hazing operations can be deadly for bison, especially pregnant females, MDOL has been claiming they are saving bison by moving them back into the park. They claim to have successfully moved over 1,400 bison back into the park in the last 4 years. This is just sort of an outright lie, as nearly all of those bison left the park shortly after the hazing operations. The Buffalo Field Campaign will continue to speak out against these unnecessary and wasteful tactics, but will not disrupt hazing operations because it will only place more stress on the bison. Thursday, April 19th, has marked another day of hazing. Although the helicopter is not in the skies, an arsenal of government officials have descended upon the greater Yellowstone ecosystem to enforce an arbitrary park boundary. The same groups of bison, including many pregnant females, are again being hazed. We are happy that Frog, an Buffalo Field Campaign activist who was arrested, has been released on bail pending his appeal of his 30-day sentence, thanks to all who have offered him support while in jail. This week, four defendants are facing federal charges together. Got yet another surprise when their trial date was moved up to the 25th of April, and we don't have an update on that yet. Please keep them in your thoughts as they go before the judge. We hope that springtime finds you well, and thank you, as always, for your support and prayers for the last free-roaming buffalo. We couldn't be out there in the field without your support, your phone calls, your letters, and your hard work for the buffalo. The Buffalo Field Campaign. They can be reached at P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59857. The Buffalo Field Campaign, again, their address, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59857. And a no tarmac quarries at Bestwood direct action victory. And a letter from England. Dear folks, for 3 years, the no tarmac quarries at Bestwood campaign has been fighting tarmac's planned permissions for two sand quarries between Bestwood Village and Bestwood County Park in Nottingham, England. Today, tarmac has given up both planning permissions and agreed to hand over all of the land to the country park, increasing the size of the park by a third. This campaign has been organized in the local communities in a decentralized and non-hierarchical way. We have written letters, signed bulldozer pledges, dropped banners, held public meetings, issued our own newsletter, done pickets, shut roads, closed quarries, visited quarries at night, disrupted AGMs, I'm not sure what that is, caused chaos at EGMs, not sure what those are either, and there have been spontaneous acts of local sabotage. Although this has very much been a locally based campaign, we wouldn't have gotten this far without the support and solidarity and hard work of folk in the wider Earth First RTS network, and I'm not sure what that is either. I'll have to do my homework. Thank you. Remember, kids, direct action works. Love from the No Tarmac Quarries at Bestwoods campaign and the Nottingham Earth First group. So, and also from England, a British saboteur is asking for your support. Earth Liberation Prisoners Support Network has just learned that Lee Himlin has decided to plead guilty to causing damage to digging equipment at a quarry in the north of England. The quarry is on Stanton Moor and is threatening an ancient standing stone circle known as the Nine Ladies. Lee has told ELP that he feels really bad about this, but he doesn't really see much of a chance of winning his case. Also, despite having been in prison before, Lee is finding life at Sherwood Prison hard and is feeling isolated. So here's your chance to help out. Lee has been hoping that with time already spent on remand in jail, he might have a chance of walking free when sentenced. However, obviously making the decision to go guilty is very hard for Lee. An Earth Liberation prisoner employs everyone to write him urgent letters of support in this difficult time. Also, Lee has told ELP he is feeling isolated, so letters from the outside would help cheer him up. Here's Lee Himlin's address. Lee Himlin, spelled H-I-M-L-I-N. And here's his prisoner number, EX7748. And the rest of the address is HMP, Her Majesty's Prisons, Perry Road, P-E-R-R-Y Road, Sherwood, S-H-E-R-W-O-O-D, Nottingham, and here's the British equivalent of a zip code, N653AG, and of course in England. And if you're writing from outside of England, of course include the correct postage. That address again, Lee Himlin, EX7748, HMP, Perry Road, Sherwood, Nottingham, N653AG, in England. And the Judy Berry Daryl Cherney civil rights lawsuit against the FBI needs to raise an immediate $20,000 to carry on smoothly and $50,000 total by our October 1st trial date. If you have already contributed, please forgive me for reading this post. And this is Daryl Cherney writing. The suit is against the FBI and Oakland police for falsely blaming the two of us for our transporting the bomb that nearly killed Judy and injured me slightly. If you want more information, go to www.judibarry.org. Or you can call 707-923-4949 for more information. Our upcoming expenses include the need to pay for expert witnesses, a dozen more depositions at about $700 each, a Xerox machine and other office equipment for our temporary Oakland office, rent for that Oakland office near the federal courthouse, which hasn't been found yet, but they estimate about $800 a month. Modest stipends for good lawyers and paralegals working on this case who donate most of their time but still need to eat, and so on. If any of you can help out, please make a tax-deductible check to RSJP, that's the Redwood Summer Justice Project, or the Redwood Justice Fund, and earmark it clearly for litigation fund. Send it to Environmental ESP at the address below so I can log in and send you an acknowledgement. We are all working our butts off to do this right. We work in the spirit of all those who have been persecuted by the FBI. Feel free to send us your prayers. We could sure use them. Viva Judy Berry. Here's the address. Daryl Cherney, Redwood Summer Justice Project, care of P.O. Box 34, Garberville, California, 95542. That's Daryl Cherney, Redwood Summer Justice Project, care of P.O. Box 34, Garberville, California, 95542. And once again, if you want more information about the bombing and attempted frame-up of by the FBI of Judy Berry and Daryl Cherney in 1990, please visit the www.judyberry.org website. Eight activists are sharing the World Environmental Prize. A Rwandan who crusaded to save his country's last 355 mountain gorillas and two American journalists who uncovered health risks of a growth hormone used by dairy farmers are among eight activists who were awarded a top environmental prize. Other winners of this year's $125,000 Goldman Environmental Prize include an Indonesian who led the fight to block a gold mine in one of the world's largest rainforests, a Bolivian labor leader who crusaded for clean and affordable water, a South Pacific activist campaigning to save one of the world's largest coral reefs, and two biologists who helped block development on biologically rich wetlands in Europe. The Goldman Prize, established by philanthropists Richard and Rhoda Goldman in 1990, seeks to identify grassroots activists who protect their homelands and native species from destructive development projects and wars. Eugene Rutagarama took on such a cause to protect a region ravaged by war by working to ensure Rwanda's gorilla habitat remained protected during a period of chaos when the government faced pressure to resettle thousands of refugees in environmentally fragile areas. Of just 650 mountain gorillas that survive worldwide, About 355 of them live in the mountainous region straddling Rwanda, Congo, and Uganda borders. Rutagarama worked to restore the Rwandan Office of Tourism and National Parks to help protect the gorilla's habitat and risked his life by traveling to rebel-held territories to deliver funds and equipment to park rangers who had not been paid in more than 5 years. Other winners include Yosefa Alamang, who labored to reverse destruction of rainforests, rivers, and local cultures from decades of mining in New Guinea; Oscar Oliveira, who helped reverse privatization of the Brazilian water company, which led to a spike in water prices that cost some as much as a third of their incomes, and we can thank Bechtel Corporation in San Francisco for that; and Bruno von Pettingham, who worked to block a nickel ore mining in the New Caledonian coral reef in the South Pacific. Mircini Malaku and Georgios Castorakis won for their joint work in establishing a conservation zone to protect the rich wetlands in northwestern Greece. The Prespa Park that they helped establish with the agreement of Albania, Macedonia, and Greece has been recognized as a model of peaceful collaboration among countries, the Goldman Environmental Foundation said. The U.S. winners were Jane Aker and Steve Wilson, journalists who investigated the dangers of the RBGH growth hormone, which is banned in Canada and Europe and many other countries but still used by American dairy farmers. Their report, which linked the hormone to cancer, was pulled by television network that they worked after a manufacturer of RBGH raised objections, and that was Monsanto. The two have since been formed their own news and documentary production company devoted to exposing environmental and health issues they say are often ignored by the mainstream media. And this story was written by Andrea Orr of the Reuters News Service. And here is our Sea Shepherd Action Alert for this week. The National Marine Fisheries Service, under extreme pressure from both Congress and the public, has finally agreed to hold hearings on the U.S. Navy's low-frequency active sonar program before deciding on whether to issue the Navy a permit to operate this extremely controversial technology. A National Marine Fisheries Service permit will allow the Navy to take, in other words, harass, injure, or kill a marine mammal as a consequence of deploying the system. This is the only chance the public will have to weigh in on the efforts to halt the deployment of the LFAS. Your attendance at this remaining hearing is crucial. That hearing will be held May 3rd, starting at 9 a.m. and lasting till noon in the Silver Spring, Maryland area. That will be at the auditorium of the Silver Spring Metro Center, building number 4, at 1301 East West Highway in Silver Spring, Maryland. Once again, that's May 3rd at 9 a.m., lasting till noon. Maryland hearing attendees are invited to contact Marcia Green, the president of the Ocean Mammal Institute, at the Days Inn at 8040 13th Street in Silver Springs, Maryland. And the reservation number is 1-800-329-7466, and join the Ocean Mammal Institute contingent and show your support. The following comments were submitted by the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society regarding the proposed rule granting the U.S. Navy's request for a small take exemption under the Marine Mammal Protection Agency. The Navy should not be issued a small take permit for deployment of the low-frequency active sonar, as it cannot say with any degree of reliability what the size of the take of the use of LFAS was likely to be, nor determine the specified area in which the potential take would occur. The Navy's data on potential take of sea turtles and fish by LFAS transmissions is virtually non-existent. The data the Navy has amassed on potential effects of LFAS on cetaceans, that's marine mammals, is severely deficient, and they concur with the staff of the California Coastal Commission, which voted no recommendation on that proposal. And we're going to take a little musical break here. We're going to play a song by Casey Neal about Rod Coronado. This is called Flaming Arrows.
The coyote lifts her head, and the deer's ears prick up over canyon and city and plain. Our brother is caught in the trap they set. Oh, do you know his name? Defender of the Leviathan from the sting of the harpoon.
friend of the fox hunted by the redcoat goons. To the children of Earth, they strike their blows, but they won't stop these wild seeds that grow. In the Bible, they came for the tribes, fighting to keep the tradition alive, helping the young ones stay away from gangs and alcohol. The disenfranchised children backed up against the wall, backed up against the wall. Cry freedom for the lynx, cry freedom for the mink, oh, freedom for the wild ones driven to the brink. For this we will fight until they cease, till all the animals and political prisoners have been released. Hell, we are howling out of the cages in the arms of eternity. My soul, it rages. My heart is crying. My spirit is on fire. I've unleashed my demons and armed my desire. Oh, aim high, aim true. I shoot these flaming arrows for you. Flaming arrows for you. I shoot these flaming arrows for you. A hawk caught wounded, that's what they said. He was driven off the res and then arrested by the feds. Another liberator in need of liberation. Another beautiful soul shackled by our genocidal nation. Genocidal nation. We are knocking the arrow, pulling hard upon the bow, setting it on fire and then letting it go. May it burn for forever, an end to the desecration. May it burn for Rod Coronado and our enchanted relations. Enchanted relations. Oh, we are howling out of the cages in the arms of eternity. My soul, it rages. My heart is crying. My spirit is on fire. I've unleashed my demons and armed my desire. Armed my desire. Oh, aim high, aim true. I shoot these flaming arrows. Flaming arrows for you. I shoot these flaming arrows for you. I
And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stay tuned.